Welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
How many hours a week do you coach? How many hours a week are you on the field? Are you making the balls move? Are you challenging your players? Are you connecting with your players? Are you, as I just completed a recent coaching education for grassroots, where coaches are training for 1 hour a week and then playing for 1 hour a week also? Or are you able to get with your players a little bit more, get more action on the field, kind of get a little bit more hands-on in terms of not just maximizing that 1 hour, but are you doing multiple hours a week? So consider that question. Just quickly count. Monday, how many hours? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I just did a quick count. This week, I am pushing 11 hours. Now, that's 11 hours of practice, whether that's in small group training, whether that's team training, so several different environments. But now I also have two teams playing in a tournament, and on Friday, they play a game each, so 2 hours, 2.5 hours extra on Friday, and then the same on Saturday and then Sunday, depending on how schedules go. So I'm looking at least another 6 hours of coaching this coming weekend. So by the time it's all said and done with engagements with players and reflections and prep, I'm looking at close to about 20 hours of coaching. And this is supplemental for me. So when we consider our coaches as coaches and we're asking them to just show up and work with our players and to do a really good job and to be this great person, which of course we all hold ourselves really accountable for too. I wonder, as you reflect on your own journey as a coach, and especially in this is last week or next week or the previous week, you know, you kind of have those nightmare weeks where you just seem to have so much going on. Where are you at in terms of hours, and how many of those hours would be quality, would you say? Now, that's kind of a challenging question because we like to think that every time we get on the field, it's quality. But how much of those hours are planned? How many of those hours are a continuation or a prep or a development or an adaptation on previously explored topics or kind of phases of play or parts of a cycle? So how many of those hours are real good quality? So now why do we care? You're lucky I showed up today. You're lucky that I have a accommodating wife for my coaching schedule, which is evenings and weekends. And we're lucky that my kids are okay with me coaching. I don't know if they said anything, what would I do about it? I've never really thought about that. And that's a sidebar right there. But I'm showing up and I'm doing my best. Isn't that enough? Now, as a director, if you're listening to this, or as a coach listening to this, it's probably something that you've heard and probably something you've experienced and perhaps done yourself. I'm just here. I have the kids' best interests at heart. Maybe I have a season planned or I'm going off of last week's plan. There are all sorts of ways that we plan our season, plan our cycle, plan our training session, and that's totally fine. But what I'm really getting at here is how many times I've said that a pro or a coach with 20 years of experience doesn't necessarily always make a great coach, whether that's because of the age of the player they're working with, the gender of the player, the environment, you know, there's all sorts of factors. But are you a 20 years of experience coach who has done the same thing every year and therefore you really only have 1 year of experience? Or are you trying different things? Are you exploring new methodologies? Are you kind of opening your eyes and asking questions of other people of how they do things versus just saying, that's not how I would do it. This is how I would do it. This is how I do things. And then really engaging on a reflection process that says, with my coaching education and with my coaching experience, how am I doing? If I were to apply to take a next level of coaching license and they asked me what I would do after the fact or what I would do with the material that I'm learning, I hope that we would all say I would try and implement it. I would take it into consideration in future. It's kind of like a driving test, right? You drive with two hands on the steering wheel. Then once you pass your driving test, you drive with your foot hanging out the window with one hand on it and the other hand on your cell phone. Like, that's the reality. But in actual fact, if we're honestly saying, I would like to take some things from this, then my question to you is it 20 years of the same year of experience, or is it 20 unique years? And when I completed my A license, I'll give you an example. Upon completing my A license, I thought, I'm done. I've completed this checklist, this phantom checklist that I've felt beholden to. Now I can explore other methodologies. Now I can explore other methods of education. So since then, I've started taking my MBA. Since then, I've taken the TOVO course for 7B7. And now I'm looking at getting into some of Raymond Vahine's stuff. I'm looking at shadowing a friend of mine in Europe and going to see how he's doing things in their academy. And it feels like I could award myself the opportunity to explore things that I wanted to explore, which kind of sounds funny, but I wanted to go and see these different things. I want to go and learn from these unique characters. I want to, maybe controversial characters, if you consider Todd Bean and Raymond Vahine and their audience is a very love or hate relationship. And I fortunately love them both. So I'm now able to go and take that on. And I think that's partly my own fault for feeling like I need to complete this checklist, this flow of A through D license with the US Soccer Federation. So think about your own experience. Where is your education coming from? When was the last time you took education? Do you feel like you're at a certain license level right now that is good enough for you and you're okay with it and you feel like you don't need more, you don't want to go on and get more official licenses, but you would like to learn from other people? What does that look like? Where do you find that? Is there a director in your club that you're connected to or a director at your school or another coach in your environment that you can pick the brain of and find out where they get their ideas from, because you might find something you like? Are you on social media and seeing these wonderful videos of these 9-year-olds pinging the ball around the field like the Barcelona of 2001? Are you absorbing as much information as possible so that last year's experience you are building on, but you're tweaking a little bit too? Because you don't coach the same players every year for 20 years. There's lots of different things that are going on in our environments. But how many times are you changing up? Are you playing small-sided games and then working on technical training? Are you changing things for your players? And so the follow-up to all of this conversation will be engagement on social media, where I'll ask, how many hours did you coach last week? Last month even, or if you're off season, what's your average weeks of hours of coaching? And again, it's not a measurement that says I'm better than you because I'm doing close to 20 hours this week and you've only done 5. But it's really about, what are you doing in those hours? In my small group training, I love to challenge the players specifically, because there's a lot of position specific work that I do with them. But I love to challenge my own methodologies. I'm very against isolated work. I'm very against kind of technique for technique's sake. And you can argue all day about that if you like, but that's my personal belief. But I will add elements of it into training to try it, to see what the player's reaction is. I will ask the player, what is some of their favorite experiences of training? What do they do when they train on their own? And how can I incorporate elements of that into the group training or even the team training that I'm running so that these players can then also take that home with them? You know, we kind of say we do games-based training, game reality, so that now that kind of connects to what the players are experiencing at the weekend in their games. Well, this is the same thing. I'm now saying, okay, if you're training with me in one-on-one, small group, or team training, here is something you can do with the ball to work on this turn or this way of breaking pressure. You go home and do that. You do it off the wall and away you go. So I'm trying to connect the dots as much as possible. I'm not running training sessions where, you know, that coach, you might be that coach and that's okay. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the situation where you turn up to the field, you're walking across the field with your wagon. It's a cool wagon. It's probably a Jeep one. They're expensive. And you've got poles hanging out of it. You might have a mannequin hanging out of it. You might have one of those blow-up skills mannequins that acts as the wall. You might have different size soccer balls. You might have some tennis balls in there. Lots of different cones, big ones, small ones, flat dots. Maybe a couple ladders and a flag or two. And then we're adding in things like the parachutes. You know, the rebounder wall is in there. There's 1,000 things that's in that wagon. And it looks wonderful. And when you've spent 30 minutes setting it all up, it looks fantastic. But can your players go home and do that? And maybe that's the niche of the training that you provide, whether in the team or whether in the individual environment, where you can say, you only get this training with me. And that's fair. That's fair. But I want my players to go and be the best that they can be. And one of the best ways they can do that is also by going home and training. So I'm going to challenge them all the time. Can you go home and train and do what we've been doing? Can I give you some homework that's realistic for you in your home environment? You only have your bedroom with a tennis ball. Great. We'll make something work. you do bicycle kicks off the dresser onto the bed and smash the ball against the wall? Go ahead. Parents might not like it, but I'm going to tailor things to them. So my hours of training are varying between working with individuals in small groups and saying, this is how you are being trained in this environment. This is what it looks like for you moving forwards, all the way down to these individuals that are coming into a team environment. And for the team to perform, these are the ways that we are going to train. These are the ways that we are going to adapt our training environment. And here is how you're going to take this training environment home with you. And I think if we connect those dots, if we've got a kid practicing at home and suddenly they put soccer on TV2, or they're wearing the soccer jersey while they're out in the street playing and their neighbor comes over and they start playing together, now we're growing the game of soccer. And it's a beautiful thing. Does it happen all that often? I don't think so, at least not to my knowledge or my experience, but there's a chance that it can. So as you go and reflect on the hours that you do, it's not about the amount of hours, although I've always said the more hours you can get, the better. I did 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, 10 weeks of the summer when I first came to the US, and I did that for a couple of years. So I got a lot of experience of managing kids, managing random numbers and ages of players and dealing with weird situations at lunchtimes and handling 40 kids in 105 degree heat in Northern California. Like, I've done all sorts of stuff and I learned so much, but I'm also learning every time I step on the field. So when you get out there with your hours, I wonder at the end of it all, what did you learn? What did you take away? What did you adapt or edit or tweak to be able to suit either yourself or the situation or the player? How did you maximize those hours? And I think that's going to be the title of this episode. How did you maximize your hours? And so I'm going to put a poll out. How many hours of coaching did you do last week? And then the second follow-up will be, how did you maximize those hours? Let me know what you think at LeeDoneSoccer.com.